Hey, welcome to Old Ass Movie Reviews. I'm Scott. There is Dave above me, and we are going through old stuff again. I forget what year this was. Sometime in the 30s, 40s, somewhere.
1937. 1937's
Think Fast, Mr. Moto, starring Peter. Is it Lore or Laurie?
Peter Lorre.
Okay.
The guy always talks like this.
Basal.
He's gonna be the Hunchback, but he's not.
Yeah. What I was reading was an answer to the death of Charlie Chan's creator or whatever. And they wanted to continue having a Japanese or an Asian detective hero character because Charlie Chan, did I say Jackie earlier? Probably. Jackie Chan is still around. So that's another tangent I'll go off on, maybe, but not, never mind. anyway, Charlie Chan. Yeah, this was the answer to Charlie Chan type character.
What I understood was the Mr. Motos and the Mr. Wong series.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those were initially written. Teleplays were actually written to be the Charlie Chans. Is that what you came across?
No, I didn't dig deep. I just started. I just looked to see real quick what anybody's saying about them things like that. And you know, I ran across some of the same things. Folks, if you watch Charlie Chan, you understand this setup. We have. This time, he's not a private investigator. It's just a hobby of his. He's an antiques dealer.
Import-export.
So he's a black market drug dealer, I'm sure, who likes solving crime on the side. How much makeup did they put on Peter Lorre?
Not much. I'm looking at
I didn't think much IMDb. Because he actually could pass for at least half Japanese.
Well,
but they could have done without the teeth.
That's what I was going to say. And I don't remember. Now, I've watched a few of these motos, but I always watch them out of order. And I don't know that I ever saw this one. That's why I wanted to start the movie. There are 9 Mr. Moto movies, the last one being made in 1965 without Peter Lorre.
Wow.
Which I think that was weird. Like, why would you do that? But Peter Lorre, in this one, he does have like the fake teeth. And they're.
Yeah. It's.
And I know why they did it. They were trying to make him look more Japanese. And the Japanese weren't exactly our ally, but they weren't quite our enemy yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if we're going to portray somebody in Britain, they're going to have some pretty gnarly teeth too. That's usually the stereotype. And so let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Like Charlie Chan, we have a white actor playing an Asian character. I recommend everybody go take a look and see why all of that was going on. Read about this. I think we all can agree it'd have been great if they'd have hired a Japanese actor because there were plenty. But this is what we got.
I just pulled up his because I was trying to remember where he came from. He's Slavic. No wonder I love Peter Lorre. He's my people. Okay.
There you go. There you go.
We can play Asians if we want to.
Well, yeah. And during the time, the studios would not put forth money to have an Asian actor or a person in color on a top billing because, oh my God, what would people think?
We'll never make our money back.
They would have. However, now there was, again, like I read with Charlie Chan movies, you had an Asian hero. Here was an Asian person showing because of anti-Asian sentiment maybe at the time and stuff like that. Here's a positive role model for people to look at. Unfortunately, this Mr. Moto played up some stereotypes. Whoops. Hello. There's a cat.
Yeah. He does something in this first one that I don't remember him doing in any of the other ones. When asked the question, he's answering positively back or an affirmation. He's like,
nobody says that.
Driving me nuts. I'm like, that should have been taken out as an edit if I were the editor at the time. I'm like, okay, you get one or two of those, man. You got to Yeah, and I understand why he did it. He was pushing the narrative that he is an Asian man, and you know, yeah, he's Japanese. But mostly Mr. Moto is pretty badass. Mr. Moto
is a badass. Yes. Mr. Moto, yes, and that's what I like.
Charlie Chan. He will not just arrest your punk ass.
He will beat your ass. He straight up threw a bitch off the side of the boat, man.
In the middle of the fucking ocean.
Yeah. When I saw that, it's like, damn. Hours. Damn, and didn't even care. And it was, that's what I like.
What did he do after he threw the guy off the ship?
Yep.
Walked over calmly to the envelope, picked it up, looked at it.
He took out the trash. So this brings me to another part that's pretty bad, is they really could have used a good fight choreographer. But.
Yeah.
But. It was cool to see. Here is this. He comes across very peaceful, very kind, very slow, almost crippled, almost elderly in his movements until he's in a fight. And then he goes full karate mode, or what they thought karate looked like at the time. So, but it was karate. Great. Yeah.
Well, what are people who thought they knew karate looked like back in the 30s?
Yep. Yes.
but there was Peter Lorre does something two or three times in this movie. I think maybe he overused it, and that's just such a tiny criticism from me right now.
Yeah.
Where he's sitting there talking and he's being the calm guy, calling you blah blah blah, you know, just be easy going. And then he just turns his face, and Peter Lorre, this is, to me, showed what a great actor he was. He went from being nice Mr. Moto and, boy, we're all having a drink now, to serial killer mode.
Oh, yeah.
Just the look. Like, his whole face, his whole expression changes. Oh,
he's a great actor. Yeah.
He's in a movie called M for Murder, or M? It might just be M. Where he plays, like, a child serial killer, I think.
Oh, damn.
If it's the right movie that I have in my mind. Where he's the killer, and he plays a psycho in that movie, if I'm not mistaken. I may have my movies mixed up, but I think it's him. And he's just, I've seen little clips from the movie. I hope I have the right name. And he's a serial killer or a killer, and he's just nuts. And he brought some of that over to this character, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah, because he did. It was like a switch went off.
Twice. At least twice that I can remember. I thought there was a couple more times where he's sitting there talking, and then all of a sudden he's just like, I'll kill you. Yeah. kill you as soon as look at you.
Yeah, these type of shows, this and Charlie Chan, are what we had in the 80s and 90s are like the Matlocks, the Murder, She Wrote, the Agatha Christie tales, the Hardy Boys, the Nancy Drews. People love a good mystery, a good whodunit. And these do it really well. This was a good setup. It had me going, you know, I was trying to piece it together. And it was cool. I like the way it was shot to show you the clues of what was going on.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a close up of somebody's tattoo. I'm like, we're gonna need to know that. Yeah, so I appreciated the stuff like that to make it more of an interactive, because that's what I like when I watch a mystery. Is I'm trying to figure it out too, you know. And if it's well done, you're along for the ride. So in that aspect, this works. This works really well. It's a product of its time. That's all I can say about it. You know,
there's a scene where Mr. Moto, he's basically following this kid, this young kid who's going to be a shipping heir.
Yeah.
To his father's company. The kid's got to take a message over to one of the partners over in the Orient in Singapore. Mr. Moto's on the ship with him. Real quick, I'm just giving you the quick breakdown. Mm-hmm. There's some trouble happens on the ship. That's where Mr. Moto throws the guy off the ship.
Oh, it's awesome.
My gosh.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad out there.
So I'll try to make this quick. Anyway, they get to Singapore. they have to meet with the guy. The kids in the same hotel Moto's in. The kid gets a phone call from his dad, and Moto has already an operative in the building with him. The lady who's at the switchboard, the operator, she calls Moto, says this phone call's coming in from the States for this kid. Get on the phone. Moto listens in. He goes downstairs and talks to the lady. Hey, why don't you meet me at such and such a place? We're gonna go out tonight. She goes with him to this. Basically, it's an expensive dive bar across town. Moto,
yeah, it's an underground gambling den.
Yeah, he just basically
it's the mafia.
Shoots a guy, shoots another guy, tells these other two guys to turn around. I mean, Moto's BA in this. I mean, he is
a badass.
Not about any of this shit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And what I saw when he's writing down in Japanese at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And he says the term, whatever he's writing down, the guy's looking at him, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's just a child's,
like a little poem or something.
And he says it in Japanese. And right there, you already know he's lying because he doesn't say it in English. He passes the note to the girl, and the girl's reading the note in Japanese, and they change it. They do like a swipe to English. Call the police when I walk away from the table.
Yeah.
That girl gets shot. I'm like, holy crap. They just killed Moto's girlfriend. There's going to be all sorts of people getting killed here shortly once he finds out. And I was so happy. I mean, I'm going to give this away. I was so happy.
Yeah, please.
She didn't die.
I was mad. It's like they did not just kill her.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. I cannot believe you guys just. But in the time period, and even in movies now, that would happen to a character. And they would just, she's dead. And just brush it up. This way, the guy comes in. He's like, "Yeah, the girl was shot." And Moto's like, "What?" And they're like, "She's okay. She's at the hospital. You know, she's gonna make it." And it's like, "Oh, thank God!" You know.
And that's
when Moto finds out he's shot. I would wait for him to just start beating the shit out of that guy.
I know. It was, you know, and seeing stuff like that, it gives you a whole different vibe that she made it versus killing. And it just reminds me of the Sylvester Stallone documentary that I watched on Netflix about. You know, he has to have hope. There has to be a hope at the end, like the last first blood. I thought he was dead in that, but he went in to explain.
In the book, First Blood, he dies.
No, but in the very last movie, the last First Blood movie.
No. Okay. I haven't seen that movie yet.
Yeah. It ends with an empty rocking chair. But what I didn't notice was Stallone had said he made sure it was rocking. To give,
like he just got up out of the chair.
Yeah. But when the movie ends, he sits down in the chair, and you think he's dead. But he just wanted to always make it where the good guys win, you know, because there's enough evil and stuff in the world. And I appreciate that. So I'm very happy, like you. I was happy that she lived.
Right.
So
there are slight problems with this, especially if you're like so super sensitive. Don't watch the movie. Don't ruin it for everybody else. Just don't watch it.
Just don't watch it.
It's a product of its time. Peter Lorre is a superb freaking actor.
He is. Like absolutely.
Said, when he goes from nice, sweet little Mr. Moto to serial killer, I'm going to cut your throat and throw you off a freaking ship, Mr. Moto. You see his acting ability right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, holy crap. This guy is no joke when it comes to being able to play it off. And I think he's underrated. Now I want to see more of his stuff, like more of his earlier stuff, even earlier than this.
Mm-hmm.
I know with Maltese Falcon, he plays a really good, like, psycho.
God, that's a wonderful movie.
And he did a lot of stuff for Hammer Films and later in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved him in the Hammer film because he always had a slight humor to all of those Hammer films that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
So now I really want to see some of his older stuff. I want to see M. I want to see it say it's called M for Murder. Maybe it's just M. I may have the title wrong. I'm sorry.
We will have to look. We will have to look. But this Mr. Moto is a good entry into the detective serials. I guess you'd say, or movies. It feels like a serial because it's just a little over an hour long. It's not a long watch. I could only find it on YouTube. Yeah. So there are some on Amazon and Apple, but this one was not. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why, but whatever.
Boris Karloff plays Mr. Wong. And I think we need to do one of those because it's another white guy
playing
part of an Asian. But all the other Asians in the Wong series are all played by Asians too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what?
I know. It's like, we don't have any actors.
I get Iron Boris Karloff, even at the time. He was still kind of a big name.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of get it.
I mean, I do. Would I do it today? No, I would not.
I would.
Okay.
It would depend on the actor. Like, if you had a Robert Downey Jr. or somebody, or just the good actor who was like, I'm down with that. I'm down with playing the part of Charlie Chan and be a white guy dressed up like an Asian guy. I'm down with that because that's how the original character was portrayed. I'm with it all the way.
Yeah.
And I understand my thought process. If I was going to do old school, that's how I would do it. If I were going to update it, I would hire a guy like Jackie Chan. I would hire an Asian guy who could, I'd put a little bit more physicality into his character. You know?
Yeah.
If not, then you hire an older Asian guy to play that part.
Basically, and you just
be the action hero. Yeah,
part. Just don't play up the stereotypes. You know, that's just because we now know. Back then, it is different. People got to realize right now I can pick up my phone and I can talk to somebody in Germany immediately. Mm-hmm. I can send pictures. We could do a live video like you and I are doing. Back then, it was something to see somebody who looked different, who sounded different, who had a different skin tone, who was a different physicality. It was considered exotic to see somebody who was different. It's a different time. So that's what I say. You can't look at it through today's glasses. That's just all there is to it.
So. Now, did guys like Peter Lorre and Virginia Field and who's this other guy? Thomas Beck. These are all the people that were in the movie. Sigmund Rubin. I mean, I'm sure most of these guys actually knew other people. I mean, you're in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, before 1937, 1800s, the Chinese were building the railroads. So there were probably a lot of Chinese in California at that point still.
Well, I just look at the background of this movie. There's a lot of Chinese in this movie.
Yeah. Like I'm sitting there looking at this thinking, these people probably knew some Chinese guys. So Peter Lorre probably did his best to not totally stereotype it.
No, and he didn't. He didn't go full on Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney's horrible. He should have been slapped in the face for that role. Why? For that role, folks, we're talking about
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. He's the upstairs neighbor shouting down the stairs a couple of times.
Oh my God!
Full Japanese makeup, just
horrible
not
teeth.
Funny, not and this coming from a guy like me who will accept a lot of things and just be like, "You're being too sensitive." Mickey was offensive to me, and I'm not Japanese.
That's pretty bad.
I'm not Chinese. I find it offensive.
You're not? I thought you were.
Now, see, like if a Japanese guy and I were talking and he was like, it doesn't bother me. I don't give a shit. I'd be like, okay, then I'm overthinking it. But,
Well, that's just it. It's not up to me to decide whether or not somebody's offended by it. So, and that's just... Right. Just how it is. It is what it is. I think it's important to watch these old things, these old shows, these old movies, these classic actors. Acting has changed greatly.
Yeah.
As we said on the last show, is these type of shows have to be driven by the actors, by the writers, by the so much more than fancy effects. So you are going to usually get a solid story. Yes, there's stinkers out there, but this isn't a stinker at all by any means.
And this was one of the shorter movies. Like I said, this is eight movies with Peter Lorre. The ninth one was done in 65 without him. The director was a guy named Norman Foster. So I'm sure he had a lot to do with how Lorre was being portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
but it seems to me in the later episodes, Lori got rid of the teeth. Like, I think he must have just went, you know, yeah, no, I can't.
Well, couldn't have been comfortable. As an actor, I wouldn't want to,
Yeah, something just tells me he didn't want the teeth for whatever reason. He got rid of them later. And
he didn't need them.
Thank you, Mr. Moto, mysterious Mr. Moto, Mr. Moto's last warning, Mr. Here's a great title that we need to watch. Mr. Moto takes a vacation.
These are great. These are great.
Look out, Mr. Moto. And Mr. Moto's Gamble. I mean, these are all movies that we got to watch. I mean,
are cool. That's cool.
You can't beat them. You just can't beat these old movies. And like you said, they give you a good mystery. They give you a good guy. Excuse me. They give you a good guy with hope. Mm-hmm. You know, he's helping people. He's not, you know, there's real little ulterior motive other than he's a good person doing good things. And this happened to be a good thing that he did, was to help his own business and the business of this other guy that was being impacted also. So it was like a double. He was taking care of himself.
It was.
His own business, but he saw his business, not direct partner, but a guy that was like him having trouble. Mm-hmm. He took care of business for him in one way.
It was cool because you saw real quick that Mr. Moto was a lot more than he seemed.
Yeah.
He had connections. He had this guy. This could have been, you know, and it may, because this is my first venture into Mr. Moto. But this is something that could be really cool. So I think it'd be neat to see it revisited today. With. Why not? Just let's have a Japanese. Let's do a new Mr. Moto and just cast Ken Watanabe, and I'll be happy.
So. I think you'd have to do it in the time period.
Yes,
like, I don't think you can update Mr. Moto. I don't think you can update Charlie Chan.
No, probably not.
I think you have to do a period piece for me.
That's fine. That would work. I mean, yeah.
And let's not do race swaps or sex swaps or anything like that.
Just no need.
You know, Mr. Moto is a Mr.
Mr. Moto is a Mr. and will at least this time be hired an Asian actor.
And, so. Yeah, an actual Asian guy. But again, I guess depending on the actor and what you were trying to portray.
Yeah, you know, I get what you're saying. As an artist, as a creator, I get exactly 100% what you're saying. With the environment, I would never, ever, ever do anything but put an Asian actor in that role. Bottom line, no matter what, no matter what really? I felt. Yeah, I would not. I wouldn't change it. So just because that's where we're at today.
I texted you, never mind.
Okay, so we're going to make Charlie Chan a black woman. And she's gay.
That was it.
So, that's one of the
idea. And a lesbian. Make it lame.
Yep. Thank you, Trey and Matt. So, folks, if you want to take a trip down into the classic territory, you could do worse. This was a good take. This is if you like Charlie Chan, if you like the serials, the murder mystery, whodunits, you're going to like this. There's a lot to like here. Just as always, you can't look at it through today's standards. It is what it is.
Oh, you can't. It is what it is. It's a good story.
It's a good story.
He's worth watching.
Peter Lorre's phenomenal.
Watch it. I enjoy it. I enjoy these old movies like this.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the next movie's going to be.
It'll be old. And
get some stuff going, so we're going to be good. But this is fun. I am all for dumping into some more old movies like this. I enjoy this stuff.
There you heard it, folks. We're going to stay at least probably 80, 90 years old for a little while as we live up to our name this year with some real old-ass movies. Silent ones are coming.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, we're going to go even older coming up sometime soon. Yep. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Hit the like, hit the share, hit the subscribe, and you can catch us where you stream your video or audio. If not, drop us a line. Thanks to those who have dropped us a line and gave us a thumbs up, gave us a share. Shout out to Shannon, Mr. Skunk Ape. You know who you are. And we will catch you next week.